That's the sound of the horn. Welcome to a summer clip cast. I'm your host, Chris Wild. With me, as always, is the Jaguar.
Mike Jaglin. Chris, did you dress up as Uncle Sam?
For the 4th of July?
Yes.
You know, I actually dressed up as Union Jack because it's not about America right now. It's about the enemy, DeAndre Jordan, Jaguar.
DeAndre, how about them Cowboys, Jordan?
I just can't believe it. You know, I don't know if you ever are familiar with the show Dallas. You know, he's off to Dallas, but there was a show called Dallas, and there was a famous line, who shot JR? Well, Jack, who shot DJ in the foot? And I think DeAndre shot himself in the foot. And another thing, Jack, is who can't shoot free throws? God, I am so mad at dumb Andre Jordan. I'm still steaming mad, Jag. Are you mad? Are you angry? Are you over it? Are you getting over it? Are you healing? What are you feeling, Jag?
I'm over it. I mean, DeAndre is a phenomenal player.
He was a phenomenal player.
He still is a phenomenal player, but he is limited. So this notion of he all of a sudden becomes this 2020 guy that Mark Cuban proclaims him to be, life is going to be a lot more difficult when you don't have the best all-around point guard and the best all-around power forward teeing you up, creating double teams.
He has one move, the dunk. That's it.
He had 401 alley-oop dunks, okay?
Right.
156 from Chris Paul.
Right.
And 134 from Blake Griffin. Again, we wanted him to be a bigger part of this team offensively.
Yeah, he was nothing. He was nothing offensively. He was a ghost.
For as great as this team and for as many minutes, you know, again, we watch every Clipper game.
Yes.
So we're able to, you know, tell people that are just, you know, the recreational basketball fans,
right,
that a lot of this offense relied around Chris and Blake. And DJ got a lot of his opportunities, as we know, you know, off of them.
Well, the casual Clipper fan would always ask me, why do they play DeAndre when he's so terrible at free throws and they're always hacking him and he's always missing? And the casual fan's like, why even have him out there? And we know why they have him out there is because he's a defensive dynamo. And he was, you know, part of the squad. Now he's gone. He's not coming back. And I really want to talk about how dumb that was for him. Now, I have a little bit of intel in that he has a new agent. And the new agent scooped him up by basically stealing him from the old agent, who was smarter. And the new agent,
Dan Fagan.
Came in and basically gave him, like, literally just gave him money to come jump ship. And he took the money to jump ship. And I'm sure that new agent was in his ear saying, you should be a star, you should be a star. And then Mark Cuban, by the way, hashtag boycott Shark Tank. Everybody stop watching Shark Tank immediately.
Well, that's the thing, that Dan Fagan finagled himself into a deal. I've heard, basically they gave DJ the pitch that he wanted.
Like DeAndre is not a star. I mean, he's a star, but he's not the go-to. He's not the number one guy.
No, in life, you know, being the third wheel with Blake and Chris is a lot easier than going to become a face of a franchise.
And That has no point guard. Has Jeremy Lin, maybe. I don't even know if they got Jeremy Lin.
Yeah.
Like, so, but Doc Rivers was smart in, like, saying, okay, DeAndre is so limited offensively, I'm going to make him the star, the captain of our defense. And look at what Doc did to DeAndre in the 2 years under Doc. And now he's with Jim Carrey's bald brother over there. What's his name? I mean,
Rick Carlisle.
This is not Mavscast. I'm mostly just bashing DeAndre. But can Rick Carlisle do anything? Like, is he really going to drum up an offense for a guy who can only dunk, who is missing alley-oop dunks in the playoffs when it mattered most, by the way?
And Rick Carlisle has problems, you know, sometimes seeing eye to eye with some of these players. I mean, Doc Rivers was fine with Rajon Rondo. Granted, you know, they probably had some run-ins over the years.
You're absolutely right, Jack.
And Carlisle runs Rondo out of town.
Yeah, he's now at Sacramento.
I don't see it. You know, again, we see all these games. We wanted DeAndre to be more of the offense. Trust me.
Right.
I mean, and then now, in reality, we're going to see other guys, you know, be more dependent on the offense, whoever they may bring in. But, you know, he had a great run for this team. But,
you know, what really kills me, Jag, is, you know, I've got a couple angles on this. First of all, the fact that he was 7 years a Clipper, he was just a kid when he came in. He was Kamen's backup. Dunleavy drafted him. Del Negro never believed in him. I mean, if you're going to jump ship, do it then. But he didn't. He stuck around. He got
he also got maxed on a contract. But yeah, let's not forget, you know, were the Clippers going to pick up that option on him, you know, before they got Chris Paul? And, you know, they ended up matching the Warriors' offer back then.
Right.
And, you know, again, two seasons with Vinny. Never saw the core minutes at the end of the game. Doc allowed him to do that, you know, and really gave him an opportunity to thrive and got the most out of him.
Now, you know, I've always been saying, Jag, like, Blake Griffin was the game changer for the Clippers, right? Blake Griffin comes in and all of a sudden everything changes. We're able to get a Chris Paul. We're able to get a Doc Rivers. We're able to get a Paul Pierce, which we haven't even touched on. That I knew was happening, and I was right about that. I was wrong about DeAndre coming back, and I'm fully eating two helpings of humble pie right now. But I was right about Paul Pierce coming to L.A., and he's here, and I want to get more into that in a second. But to prove my point is Blake was the game changer, and the only thing from pre-Blake that was still sticking around was DeAndre the Iron Horse Jordan, and now he's gone. So it really is Blake Griffin's Clippers now.
Oh, it's Blake Griffin and Chris Paul's Clippers.
Well, absolutely. And Doc's Clippers and Paul Pierce's Clippers and Ballmer's Clippers.
We're more worried because we don't know exactly what is going to happen with the players that are going to be coming in. But, again, you still have two of the top 10 players. And you've added a Lance Stephenson. You've added a Paul Pierce. You know, there are holes.
But that's what really, really, like, really pisses me off about this dumb Andre Jordan move is, like, look at the moves Doc did, you know, up until this DeAndre, you know, running away and trying to be a star in a middling town, going back to Texas to be the dunk face of a mediocre organization. Yes, they won a fluky championship with Dirk Nowitzki, but that was a long time ago, Jack. They're not getting back anytime soon, and certainly not with the squad they've got. I mean, Wes Matthews and DeAndre Jordan are going to be the difference makers.
They have two guys coming off major injuries, one an Achilles, one a microfracture, I believe Chandler Parsons had, but he can pitch with the best of them. I mean, we'll give him that, Chandler Parsons of interest. But, it's just...
I'm shocked. I'm offended. I am ready, Jag, when the Dallas comes to L.A. I mean, when people were booing Dwight Coward for leaving the L word, and who can blame him? I mean, the city really rallied behind booing him and hating him. And even at Clippers games, we were booing Dwight Howard. And then those fickle L-word fans were somehow rooting for Houston versus us in round two. It doesn't make any sense. But I cannot wait for dumb Andre to come back to Staples as a mediocre Maverick and for me to boo so hard that it rattles his soul. I cannot wait to boo. He took less money to go to Dallas so he can be the star. Come on, Jack. Less money.
Well, he did take less money in the sense that, again, they don't have state taxes. So he's basically taken a lesser year in that account. So, I mean, it is what it is, Chris. I mean, it stinks short term. But, you know, they get $30 million plus probably next summer to spend.
Absolutely.
And next summer's going to be crazy. Kevin Durant's out there.
And yes, for everything that he was defensively, and I hope that the team is able to rally now that he's gone. But we also have, you know, another first team all defense player in Chris Paul. But everything he was defensively, he was terrible offensively. He really was terrible offensively.
But he never demanded the ball inside.
I mean, look at the NBA Finals teams, Jack. Look at the centers that they put up. I mean, Timofey Mozgov was like a stud for LeBron.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that guy's lousy. I mean, we saw Blake like basically emasculate him and posterize him. And then Golden State basically didn't have a center. They had Draymond Green. This is almost like this is like there are no more centers in the NBA. There are no more Patrick Ewings. There are no more Shaqs.
And that's what's important for the Clippers, you know, going forward this offseason is not making like a drastic – don't just sign guys that are centers
right.
that aren't really going to contribute. You know, you really have to be – you're limited money. You have what's remaining from Paul Pierce's mini mid-level. That's now the full mid-level exception because DeAndre left. So you have that. It's not saying much because the way the free agent frenzy's been, a lot of these guys are being eaten up.
But all we really need, I mean, if you can take a look at the teams that had success just in this postseason, all you need is a competent center. And look at Golden State, the champs. They didn't even have that. They didn't even have a competent center.
They didn't play Bogut that much. Yeah. They didn't play Bogut that much. No, they didn't. And, again, that's why it's so important to bring in guys that can play the four and the five. And not just we can't have these, you know, roster spots just being
wasted.
Used. They can't be.
No.
Not at a time like now.
But I like that the Clippers are getting – I mean, look, I hate what happened with DeAndre, but to me that wasn't the Clippers. That was DeAndre. DeAndre has his own demons. And the Clippers put together the best case possible. They gave him a ton of money. They're like, look, we're gonna market more you. We're going to make you an even bigger star. And that guy was a star. He went from zero to hero here in L.A., and like his team when he first started was a 19-win team, and now look at him. You know, they had a shot to go to the conference finals, and because of guys like DeAndre, they didn't. He was a no-show in Game 7. He was a no-show in the fourth quarter of Game 6. You know, I can't believe he didn't, you know, take more responsibility and accountability and say, you know what, I want to get better with this group of guys. Look at all we've accomplished. All we need to do is one tiny step. And we're there in the conference finals. And Paul Pierce, Lance Stephenson, those are that step. Yet he has this ego, man. He's got an ego. He wants to be the star.
You know, at the end of the day, it's a business.
But what's he going to do? Jack, he's not going to be born to assist State Farm guy.
Listen,
he's not getting Reebok shoe deals.
And when the pretty girl comes in and tells you, here's some cash, you don't have to pay taxes. You can do what you want.
Go home to Texas, which is terrible.
Yeah. And you know what agents were involved. What you know, it's
terrible.
It's one of these things that you just kind of look at and be like, okay, that happened.
That happened.
Let's move forward. That's basically what happened.
All right. So the Clippers have been getting creative. I mean, other than the DeAndre situation, they have been getting creative with their limited resources and have acquired a guy who's playing summer league right now that actually has played center, has played every position in Division I, and you talked to him, Royce White. Tell me about Royce White, Jack.
Royce White is a great individual. This is a guy that has gone through a ton of adversity, dealing with anxiety. You know, he was basically out of the league more than in the league after being a top 15 pick in the 2012 draft.
Back in college, he like was on a Division I squad and led that team in five categories: points, assists, rebounds, steals, and block shots. Am I making that up?
No, you aren't.
That's insane. That is insane.
He was Mr. Basketball. And, you know, the Clippers are giving him an opportunity this summer on the summer league to, you know, see what he can do. And, again, he wouldn't get on a plane. He had, you know, many issues that he has been dealing with. And, again, only 24 years old. So, you know, early on in the summer league, he hasn't really stood out as much as I think most of us would expect. But it's just a great story. It really is.
And he got on the plane to fly from L.A. to Orlando.
Exactly. Yeah, the million-dollar question, right?
I mean, the flying is not an issue.
He's doing better.
Well, I want to. I want to go right to this interview, Jag. Oprah Jagfrey, one on one with brand new Clipper Royce White. I want to hear it right now. You ready for it?
All right.
Well, let's go to the videotape.
Clipper Nation, we have a special guest, Royce White, here on Clipcast. Royce, how you doing today? How's everything going?
Oh, great, man. Just had our first practice after our first two-a-day, and I'm feeling good. I'm super excited to be here, and it's an amazing opportunity, great organization, and I'm definitely looking forward to the chance of being around.
Now, Royce, America loves comeback stories. I love comeback stories. You probably like Rocky and Rudy and, you know, the movie Dodgeball.
Yes.
How do you make this Royce White story a reality?
I think just working hard is the main thing, and staying focused, canceling out all the white noise. And by that, I mean all the outer things that come along with the entertainment industry and the professional sports industry, and just really staying focused on being a good teammate, and even more important, being a solid man. And you know, I think I've been able to do that some. As we know, sticking in a certain spot in this league is very circumstantial, but I want to continue to just, you know, be the guy that I am, and hopefully you know, the Clippers think that I can help their organization.
How have you maintained yourself in basketball shape over these last few years?
You know, I'm active. You know, I'm just an active guy. I like to do a lot of core work, even at home. Joke, I grew up in Minnesota, and Herschel Walker used to say whenever commercial came on, he would do 25 push-ups. So, you know, I grew up, you know, doing some of those type of things, definitely doing a lot of push-ups and sit-ups. And, you know, I'm fortunate enough to be able to have a community back at home in Minnesota where we're able to play 5-on-5 every day. So, you know, with a lot of European guys and some pro guys. So I've been very fortunate over this past year to stay active.
Is there anything in your game that you have added to your arsenal since kind of being in and out the last few seasons?
Well, it's tough to say. I mean, I think when I was at Iowa State, I definitely played that hybrid point guard center role, where a lot of times we had four shooters around me. And because of that, I wanted to make sure that guys were getting shots, and I really didn't take a lot of perimeter shots at any time. You know, really I only took was 9 threes all season. I think I'm a better shooter than people know so far. You know, other than that, I still play the same way, man. I love to get people involved. I like seeing my teammates get good open looks, whether that's screening or making the right pass on time and on target. That's how I've always played, and that's how I'll continue to play.
Royce, anxiety is a huge issue, and, you know, I suffer from it. How important is it for people to take responsibility and to know that, you know, this is an issue and it is part of life?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think the facts surrounding mental health overall, you know, anxiety as a subgroup are, you know, undeniable at this point. And I think that, you know, as a society globally, we have to do a better job of taking responsibility and being accountable to one another, and being accountable to helping one another, and being more understanding. And we're doing that, I think. We definitely could use a boost, though.
Do you have an organization that you spread awareness?
You know, there are so many great organizations that have dedicated, you know, decades to bringing us to a better place in regards to mental health, and giving people who suffer from mental illness now, or maybe our family members of people, or maybe a husband or wife, or anybody who has to support people with mental health. It could be a teacher, it could be an employer, or whatever. They've done a great job of giving us a lot of information and bringing us a long ways into, you know, being better equipped to help. And there's so many that I wouldn't want to name one. You know, National Institute of Mental Health does a great job. NAMI does a great job. Active Minds is another one that does a great job. So, you know, there's countless ones.
Now, to the big question, how did you find yourself with the Clippers this summer?
You know, my agent reached out to a number of teams when I signed with the new agent, and he reached out to a number of teams, and the Clippers, you know, showed the most interest. And I think from there, we just started to build a relationship, And, you know, I'm excited at the opportunity to be a part of such a winning organization. You know, great coaches, you know, got, I mean, three players that will be Hall of Famers before it's all said and done. And, you know, couldn't be in a better position.
Do you realize that this is an opportunity for you with this organization, you know, with Doc, with Chris, with Blake, and, you know, Paul Pierce coming, that you can learn, one, learn a lot, but also fill a need? I mean, the wing position is something that, you know, has kind of been the Achilles heel for this team.
Yeah, I mean, I just want to be there and do whatever my team needs me to do, you know, whether that's get in there and contribute a lot of minutes, and that's what Coach, you know, puts in front of me, then I'll, you know, navigate that challenge. And if that's, you know, sitting on the bench and being a great teammate and cheering on a team that, you know, had a championship run this year, you know, then that's what I'll do as well. You know, I sat all last season, and obviously I've had a, you know, tumultuous first 3 years, and I'm just happy to be back in it. And even being here at the Summer League and being around other pro guys, I'm having an amazing time, and I'm really just thankful for that.
Yeah, you, there must be some type of humbling feeling, and feeling that, like, okay, I've got over this hurdle. Now it's time to take the next step, right?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think, yeah, I mean, I think it all comes with a grain of salt, and especially if you've been in this league or you've been around this league. You know, I talked about Hassan Whiteside just 10 minutes ago, and when we were in the RGB, he barely even got off the bench, and you know, he comes in and he's, you know, has this talent and he's able to showcase it, and now he's in a way better position. So, you know, I think players have to just stay patient and realize that, you know, it's a business, and teams are always trying to mix and match and put certain things together. And, you know, sometimes you'll be bounced around. I was, you know, I had the unfortunate scenario of being bounced around early. But some players are bounced around late. Some players are bounced around in the middle, and you just got to stay patient and stay focused.
Awesome. Final question: What are you looking for as Royce Wright, the player, in the Summer League? What's the main component with your game?
You know, I'm just looking to be, like I said, a good teammate.
Okay.
I do a lot of different things. I've always been a player that's done a lot of different things. I think in the Summer League, I'm going to try and focus on the defensive end, you know, and have a lot of energy. I think anytime you are one of the main guys, and as I was the last time I played a full season, which was at Iowa State, anytime you're a main guy, you get caught up in maintaining a pace that will allow you to play 38 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, no matter what happens going forward, I need to learn to, you know, crank that energy up in short spurts and be a guy that can bring a lot in a little bit of time. So
that's awesome. And for you, it really doesn't matter what position you play, right? Guard, forward, three, the four, the five.
Yeah, no, I don't have a preference, man. I just love being out there and doing whatever my teammates expect me to do. I'm a big believer in that, doing what your teammates expect. You know, I've been blessed to be able to have a skill set that can allow me to play multiple positions. And given that, I still like to use that skill set to try and make the guys around me better.
Well, Royce, thank you so much for taking the time. I greatly appreciate it. And listen, Clipper Nation, Chris and myself are both rooting for you, because we, you know, I feel that you could really help this team. And I'm not just, you know, blowing smoke up you. We just thank you again. And
Thank you. I appreciate it, man.
And just keep doing your thing. And we're looking forward to see what you do in Summer League, and, you know, hopefully come the fall, too.
Yeah, thank you, man. I really appreciate it. I'm happy to be here.
I can't believe the guy said he was, what did he say? He said he was like a hybrid point guard center. He was that's insane to me, Jack.
I can rebound, but I can lead the break. I mean, I guess kind of similar to, you know, what Blake has kind of evolved in. You know,
right.
That's, you know, he was the focal point, you know, for most of his career. And, you know, now he's just trying to get an opportunity. And this is a great opportunity this summer to see if he can get a camp invite and possibly make the team.
Yeah,
so
I mean, if this guy can, like, you know, show us what he showed the world in Division One. Obviously, the NBA is the greatest athletes in the world, but man, if he can stay in condition, and like, I'm not expecting him to play 1 through 5, but to have a guy that can play all those positions on the bench would be real sweet, Jack.
No, and again, you know, you would think, you know, we have Will Cox who will be on the team, and then you have, you know, Austin Dawson, who put up 14 and 14 in the first summer league game. So I mean, that guy has a knack for the ball.
So Austin Dawson has been kind of the standout of summer league so far to you, Jack?
So far, yeah. I mean, a couple other interesting guys just to kind of keep in mind because of the entire DeAndre, I don't want to call it a fiasco, departure. Let's just call it that. They have a guy that's 7'2". From Canada, Liam McMorrow, who's been playing pretty solid. He's the kind of guy that maybe he could be a third big. He's got a little offensive skill, can rebound. He's 28 years old, I believe. And then a rookie, Tarik Marrera, who is like 6'11". He's more of an athlete compared to your traditional center, which is more of what McMorrow is.
Right.
So, you know, that's one of these guys that, you know, came out undrafted, athletic, and it's going to be interesting. Nate Walters has played really solid, too, for them, who should be, a third string or late addition on someone's roster and needed a point guard.
Now, this summer, obviously, we're going to get ourselves a center, the Clippers, and you know, what are the kind of the movements? I mean, I know people are like rumbling about JaVale McGee. What have you heard, Jack? What is your gut telling you, Jack?
Well, I think it comes down to them filling the roster the best way possible. Let's just not go out and sign a guy because he's big and put him on the team. And that's something with JaVale McGee. You have to see, you know, what you're getting. If you look at JaVale McGee's numbers compared to DeAndre Jordan's numbers before Doc took over, JaVale actually had better numbers than DeAndre. But the problem with JaVale has always been his head.
Right.
I mean, I watched a 10-minute YouTube Shaq and the Fool compilation today.
Sure.
And it was
it's all McGee.
Like, oh, but he did take the time to work on his game and trained with, you know, Hakeem. He's coming off of a fibula problem, so he really hasn't played consistently these last couple of years. He's been bogged down with injuries.
Right.
So you have that aspect on top of what are you going to get? Because once George Karl left Denver, his game kind of just went to hell. Not to hell, but his trajectory just totally went off. So I mean, he's someone that, you know, Adrian Wojnarowski talked about that they're going to talk to. You know, another name that, you know, they're going to supposedly talk to, too, is Amari Stoudemire.
Right.
Who, you know, really considered the Clippers during the season. And, again, you can't have Amari starting at center, but coming off the bench and, you know, playing the 20, 25 minutes, I don't think we're really going to disagree with that. So, you know, and then you've got to just look at, you know, what is out there? There really isn't much out there. So you have, I'm going to bring up Larry Sanders. Larry Sanders is another guy that had some off the court issues and left the Bucks. He got actually paid substantially, played really well. He's supposedly playing in the Drew League in LA.
Right.
So we'll see if he gets, you know, kind of gets the commitment to wanting to play, because that's a guy that you could get on the minimum probably and give a shot to. You know, these are, again, another person that would be interesting would be Jason Smith from the Knicks. You know, he actually played with Chris Paul in New Orleans. Quincy Acey from the Knicks. I'm naming all these Knicks. So one of them will have to come.
Right.
Bargnani will be out there. I know that's not an attractive name. But, again, these are all realistic targets of this team. We don't have more than probably the minimum to offer, because again, we still need to go out and get a wing. You know, Gerald Green's still out there. You know, that would be perfect for this team. I'm going to give you some pipe dream scenarios for big guys. One being Jordan Hill. You know, you pitch Jordan Hill coming off making $8 million with the Lakers. They didn't pick up his option. You know, do you want a starting role? Do you want, you know, big minutes and a chance to win on the contender? That's another guy you could possibly look at and pitch that to. So, I mean, this list, it's more about getting creative, Chris. I mean, Home Run Hollins was even mentioned.
Sure.
So I mean,
he's a big energy guy. We obviously are familiar with him. He's a friend of the show, so we like that. I mean, I still stand by the fact that, yes, DeAndre was a special center defensively. We just need a competent center because DeAndre's offense was very severely limited. All he did was catch alley-oop dunks. I don't know if you noticed in the playoffs, but when the spotlight was on him, he wasn't catching alley-oop dunks and finishing at the rim. He was botching them. He would do a lot of
those one-handed dunks instead of two-handed dunks that would backfire.
Yeah, and like basically we need 2 points from you, dummy, because when you go to the free throw line, you're not even good for one. So at least make the dunks, you Dallas dick. I'm sorry, Jag. I'm very upset.
I mean, again, too, like, what's going to happen with Jamal? You know, there's been rumors that he was on the block again for that auction.
Right.
You know, do they try to package Jamal for, say, like, I don't know, a Patrick Patterson or a Quentin Ross? If you package Jamal, you just need to make sure you get a need back. You know, you get something. If it's a big guy, if it's, a guy like Ross in Toronto, you know, Gerald Green, if you could do some type of sign and trade there, you know, there has to be ways to get creative if you are going to deal Jamal. But again, still, Chris, the wing position is something. That's why Gerald Green, crucial. Darrell Wright, Allen Anderson. So, again...
But Jag, aren't Lance Stephenson and Paul Pierce wing guys?
They are, but you need more wing depth. I mean, again, that's the thing we've learned about the NBA now. You need to have guys that can play a certain brand of ball, and also you're getting something out of them that can play typically, two positions. You know, can you play the two? Can you play the three? Paul Pierce can play the three, and he can play the four. You know, you're playing this new brand of basketball. Like you said, the center it's not extinct, but it's not as important due to small ball.
I mean, look at the champs. The center was extinct.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, it's going to be really, really interesting. Like I said, if you're on a trade for Jamal, you want John Henson as your dream. You want Patrick Patterson, Ross, Taj Gibson, you know, those are guys, you know, you could possibly, you know, try to pursue for in a trade.
But well, what's really irritating to me, Jag, is before the fiasco, the DeAndre fiasco, the diasco, if you will, this was like people said, the Clippers are a destination team, and now they're forgetting that because DeAndre left. Oh, we're not a destination team. No. We are a destination team. This is not like us, you know, doing sizzle tape showing you, oh, here, look at all the Hollywood celebrities that come to the game. Oops, sorry, LaMarcus Aldridge. You actually want to hear about basketball. You don't want to hear about Hollywood nonsense. No, we've got all the Hollywood nonsense because we play in Hollywood. But we're also a really great top five basketball team with a great coach and a great floor general and a great power forward, Blake Griffin. This is a destination team, and this is a great team. This is a great basketball organization with a great owner. So just because one idiot leaves so that he can be a big fish in a mediocre pond doesn't mean that all of a sudden we've stopped being a destination team. Guys want to come and play for Doc Rivers and play at Staples Center for now and play for the LA Clippers. This is a destination team.
Paul Pierce is coming back. Paul Pierce left $2 million on the table.
And our nation's capital.
DC.
Yeah.
Yes.
Obama's leaving DC, so is Paul Pierce.
And I think having Paul Pierce, too, will help recruit some of these fringe guys.
Jack, do you think that
you know, might be able to...
Do you think at all that had anything to do with it, with DeAndre's decision, or he had already made, like, his mind up years ago?
I think he already had his decision made. I mean,
Because Paul Pierce comes to the Clippers, and now DeAndre goes from the third most popular to maybe even the fourth most popular player.
Yeah, well, that is actually true. But, yeah, I mean, you'd think probably Paul Pierce expected, I mean, everyone kind of expected him to stay. But, you know, once he didn't accept that offer after that meeting, or, you know, that night,
no. When that night nothing was said, it was bad. It was bad.
Yeah. And then it just became this entire drawn-out game.
But at the same time, like, the guy's basketball IQ matches his IQ, which is a flatline zero. You look at that home loss versus Portland. When Chris Paul puts up a shot, DeAndre grabs the offensive rebound, and as opposed to just put it back uncontested and win the game, he sits there and is dumb, like a big dumb dummy. Because the guy's dumb. He's not smart. So when there's a beef between him and Chris Paul, it's because Chris Paul is one of the most brilliant basketball players of all time. He's very smart. DeAndre is very dumb. Dumb people don't like smart people. Dumb people don't like, oh, I'm dumb. I'm going to go hang out with a smart person because he's going to make me feel smarter. He's going to make me seem smarter. He's going to make me smarter. No, that's what a smart person does. A smart person surrounds himself with smarter people so they can get smarter. A dumb person is like, I don't want to be by a smart person. I'm a dumb person. I want to go to Dallas.
And a smart person would realize they're in a pretty good damn situation about to get $110 million.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, wouldn't that have made him the most, like, the highest paid Clipper, basically, per season?
Yes. He would have been the highest paid Clipper.
What a douche.
But the good thing is, though, they're out of that money. Like,
no, absolutely.
Yes, this summer stinks. It stinks. There is no money to spend.
Yes. But
maybe,
you know, like,
again,
I'm just hoping, I hope that this is the linchpin. I hope that this is the rally cry, Jag, that this team needed. Like, okay, DeAndre's gone. We lost a dummy. Let's now rally us smart people and start winning basketball games. How important is the regular season, Jag? I talked about this with you on the phone the other day when we weren't recording our phone conversations. You know, Golden State Warriors won the championship and were the best team in the regular season by leaps and bounds. Last year, San Antonio wins the championship. They were the best team in the regular season by leaps and bounds. 2 years in a row, Miami wins it. They were the best teams in the regular season by leaps and bounds.
Yep.
The regular season is important. I know that players hate the regular season and all they care about is the postseason. But when every single year the best team wins, don't you need to be the best team in the regular season?
I mean, it helps. I mean, again, NBA isn't like college sports.
It's not like Major League Baseball where the best team last wins.
And, I mean, the Warriors, you know, congratulations to them. They had an easy path to get there.
You know, the worst thing, Jack, the worst thing is when I found out DeAndre Jordan is going to Dallas, I was literally driving up north and passing the Oracle as I found out. So it was just insult meet injury. I was in Oakland when I found out the news. It was really devastating. I snapped a picture of me giving the finger to the Oracle because I was very upset.
Oh boy.
All right, let's get to some of these Twitter questions, Jag.
Uh-huh.
I like this one. You know, who would you rather have, Amari or JaVale McGee? Who would you rather have, Jag, if you had to pick? At GT17 Ken, Kenneth asks, who would you rather have, Amari or JaVale?
I'd like to have both, honestly. Right. With the way all these guys are getting snatched up.
Right.
I would take both. But again, I think Amari for 20, 25 minutes, you know, here and there is great. Amari is your starting center. Probably not the answer. And McGee, again, it's a project. You know, this would be Doc's greatest reclamation project if he were to pull this off. So, I mean, right now, I think, again, those are two names that have to be, you know, near the top of the list, for sure.
Nate Bryce at NBryce1 asks, will CP's and Blake's numbers increase or decrease with dumb Andre leaving?
Yeah, I think Blake's going to be an MVP candidate now.
Well, Blake,
really
Blake gave all the rebounds
like,
in the regular
I mean, he
season.
Is,
But
Blake gave all his regular season rebounds to his buddy DeAndre because it was a contract year. And then DeAndre goes and basically is worse than Elton Brand and stabs the entire fan franchise and his buddy Blake in the back and in the chest and in the throat. And basically it was like, oh, thanks for, like, you know, padding my stats this year. Peace. Deuces. I'm out. So Blake, I feel like we're going to see that postseason Blake who is averaging like a triple-double like every third game.
The Oscar Robertson numbers.
Yes, yes. And he's just going to be going after rebounds. Like in the postseason, he was the, like, he was going after rebounds. There were many, many, many games where he was out-rebounding Deej. I wonder who had better rebounding numbers in the postseason. That's a good question, Jack.
I would also like to see them bring someone in at the five position that it does have some type of offensive output,
right?
Because I think that will help. Again, like a guy like Jason Smith would be interesting.
Well, even Mozgov, like Mozgov had some moves in the finals that I saw.
Yeah, no, he played really well. But that's the thing: is bring guys in that you know you're going to get something out of.
Right.
We can't waste these spots. But again, I know we're running into the beginning of the week, and they'll probably make a move in the next couple of days. But again, it's just going to be really interesting to see, you know, what direction they go with these.
Well, I think Doc is a real wizard at, like, putting lipstick on a pig. I mean, he came into the Clippers organization and basically said, okay, here's what I got. This center who can't even make a layup. So what am I going to do? I'm going to boost this guy's confidence. We were there at the press conference when Doc Rivers greeted the press for the first time as the coach. And the first player that he mentioned was DeAndre Jordan and kept talking about the big three. And he boosted that kid's confidence so much so that it didn't matter that the dummy could only dunk and couldn't even make a layup, let alone a free throw where they just give it to you for free. We all know he couldn't do that. So Doc was this wizard of putting lipstick on a pig, and look at how it worked. I mean, DeAndre, he was an offensive liability, so Doc said, okay, well, we're going to put the whole defense through you, and it really made him fantastic. So what can
Doc do now? He's actually opening up his own barbecue chain in Texas. It's unbelievable.
That's right. He's going to Dallas, and he's got the lipstick barbecue pig joint. You can go and get a DeAndre baby back rib special covered in lipstick. At Benny B. Fly asks, am I the only one tired of reading Picasso's emo tweets? So basically, Jamal Crawford has been tweeting out some, like, you know, some pretty cryptic tweets, I guess, or maybe not necessarily cryptic, because they're just like, they're just mystery tweets. I mean, I get it. I mean, I get what's going on because there's an uncertainty and the guy is just too good to not be guaranteed a slot. So I totally get it.
Well, I mean, it's emo Jamal. I mean, that's what a lot of Clipper Nation calls it. It just his cryptic tweets, as you said. But also, like, you know, he's the only one under contract that has congratulated DeAndre on Twitter.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Well, that shows you where his head is at.
I mean, does it? I mean, again, we
but he's
we love
also,
Picasso.
I mean, Jamal's also the nicest guy literally in the world.
Yeah, he's probably like, oh, $80 million.
Right, good so, for him.
So who knows? But again, it'll be interesting to see what happens with Picasso. A piece could come that way. But again, it's important not to jump the gun with any trade with him, too, because again, you have a lot of these teams that are overspending and just plugging. But there's going to be places and teams that will need him at, you know, what, $5.5 million, you know, and Lou Williams, who won Sixth Man this year, is basically getting $2 million more a year from the Lakers.
Right.
So, I mean, guys, there will be places back east. You know, like I said, I would be calling Milwaukee about Henson. I would be calling the Bulls about Taj Gibson. You know, you look into all that.
I mean, and before we got rid of Barnes, like Jamal and Barnes were always kind of our, like, you know, those were our trade pieces. And even though Doc said at one point Jamal is not on the table, we all knew Jamal was always on the table.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No. And again, you know, we love Jamal. We're always going to be his biggest fans. But, yeah, he does,
he does worry some people with his emo texts or tweets.
He's like quoting Morrissey lyrics on Twitter right now. At Chris of the Cloud asks, should Doc focus on coaching instead of multitasking as GM? Certainly not right now in the summer when he doesn't have to coach at all.
No. We need it all hands on deck right now.
we needed him to focus 100% on GMing right now. And I mean, literally, and the guy was doing phenomenal things. Like, literally, like, scrambling and getting Royce White is a cool move, because that's a risk that you can take in summer league that if it pays off, you're a genius. I mean, bringing in Paul Pierce, that's like his buddy. I mean, we all knew that was going to happen, and it happened. Lance Stephenson for Spencer Hawes and Barnes is great. It's his only.
And this is like his first summer with Ballmer too.
Right.
I mean, he had to deal with Scrooge McDuck, and then he had to deal with not basically being able to consult with the owner last year after he took over.
And also, just because DJ and LaMarcus Aldridge have, we know where they're going, that doesn't mean summer's over now. I mean, summer's still a couple more months if I, understand the solstices here, Jack.
Yeah, and a lot of, experts out there already have the Clippers pegged around that 6-8 range in the West. But, it's way too early to start assuming when we don't know what this roster is going to look like.
Absolutely.
We really don't.
Absolutely. And also, like, we were third in the West. You know what I mean? We were one DeAndre Jordan putback away from number two. So it's like, I mean, literally, if you swap out Hollins for DeAndre in that situation, we win that game. So I don't understand how you could put the Clippers 6-8, because, I mean, I get it. Everyone's like, the sky is falling. But how can the sky be falling when you've got Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, J.J. Redick,
Lance Stephenson, Paul Pierce. He's at Summer League. Lance was at Summer League hanging out. I mean, that shows you his dedication.
Well, I like the dedication of @ShivaTaker100, Big Daddy Cool. He says, I think all of Doc's moves have been the right ones. Duds, Mullins, and Hawes not working out has more to do with them, not necessarily Doc. And I agree with him. Like, those guys didn't work out, not because of Doc Rivers, because those guys came here and waffled. So he shuttled them out the door. Yeah, he was like, get rid of them.
Yep. No, I totally agree. I mean, add Jordan Farmar to that list too,
Right.
I mean.
And the good news is they're not sticking around, stinking around, like. Barnes stuck here a while because he actually was getting better and better and filled a void that he had a need, and he was a glue guy, and he won us game 7 versus the Spurs.
Yep.
Well, Big Daddy Cool also wrote, I would like no DJ talk on the Clipcast. He is gone. Let's move on. Well, we apologize. And we probably
we will give you a 5-minute Clipcast.
I would imagine you're gonna need about 3 or 4 Clipcasts for me to shut up about how much I hate DeAndre Jordan. And then, of course, I'm excited to go into the Dallas visitors locker room when Dallas comes to town, and I'm just gonna ask DeAndre point blank, dude, come on, be honest, how much does Dallas suck compared to LA? Be honest. I mean, that town is awful. Have you ever been to Dallas, Jack?
Oh, yeah.
It's so boring.
My ex was from there. Yeah,
all my exes live in Texas, Jack, including DeAndre. All right, well, let's end the show on a high note and talk about Paul Pierce coming back to L.A. Inglewood's own Paul Pierce. The truth is back. How much is that going to help? And, obviously we can all put on our Monday morning quarterback jerseys and realize how much Paul Pierce would have helped this team this past postseason. How much is Paul Pierce going to help this team this upcoming postseason in 2016?
I think he's going to help them out, most importantly, in the locker room and giving them, more leadership and toughness. And that's the key. He's not a guy that's going to play, 30-plus minutes a game. He's probably going to miss 10 to 20 games in the year.
You should.
You're going to have to be smart with Paul Pierce. So you know, if it's the Darrell Redd or Gerald Green or whoever's out there, you need to bring in someone else at that position that can, you know, play heavier minutes. But, you know, as a winner, you know, it's really going to help, especially with everything that's transpired with DJ.
Right.
Having someone like Paul Pierce, you know, will only make this situation, you know, alleviate itself a lot better than if everything was gutted. You know, now we have, you know, Paul, you have someone in Lance Stephenson that's very intense and a tremendous player.
And a defensive dynamo. I mean, Lance Stephenson is a defensive dynamo.
Yep. And you're bringing in guys that are going to make a locker room difference now. It's not the daycare center is done.
Right.
Basically.
Right.
Those poor Barnskins are going to be in the ground house. Probably.
Oh, Lord. We all know Marc Gasol doesn't have any kids.
Yeah. Oh, man. So, yeah, it's going to be great having Pierce here.
You put him under the Pop, you know, the Pop minutes, right? Where, like, you're just not going to see him at 41 home games in Staples Center. You're just not going to see it during the regular season, but you will see him in the postseason at Staples Center.
Correct. And you're not going to – that's why I was saying, like, getting a viable backup that is going to be a starter for, you know, like I said, probably about 10 to 20 games a year, then, you know, you need that. And that will also help your team in the long run, too. But, again, we just – we have to hope, too, that maybe having Paul Pierce helps us get some of these fringe guys that might be getting more money elsewhere, too.
Well, I mean, Paul Pierce took less money to come here.
Yep. I mean, oh, God, that'd be great if he got on the phone with David West, who the Spurs are trying to get now, too. But I don't know. I don't know. I mean, this is going to be such an interesting week to see where this team ends up.
I mean, what kind of stuff happens around the league before the moratorium or whatever the heck it is on July 9th, Jack?
I mean, not much. We're just going to see more people get gobbled up.
Right.
But, you know, again, the guys that
and then
are getting gobbled up are guys that we thought we could maybe get.
But then there's still trades to be done throughout the summer. I mean, it's not just – it doesn't just have to happen the first week of July.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. And again, like, if Jamal does move, it might be easier to move him once all this madness is gone.
Right.
So, you know, it'll be interesting. It's just, again, you're limited on what you can spend. And you have that portion of Paul Pierce's salary from the mid-level left. So you're hoping if it's a Jordan Hill, if it's a Gerald Green, you know, someone along those lines, you can pitch them, you know, to take less. And then, you know, fill it out with your McGee's and your Stoudemire's and your Jason Smith's or your Darrell Wright's or who you might need to, you know, put this team together. But again, get the best players available. Get them. Quincy Acey. You know, I don't know. It's going to be great. I'm actually really looking forward to it.
Doc has gotten the best players available except for, you know, his defensive prodigy left. You know, he turned his back on him. And, you know, DeAndre was like besties with Dwight Howard, and I mean the guys are now like they're the two, you know, Benedict Arnolds of Los Angeles, basically. You know, I tweeted out via at LA Clipcast, and you should obviously always follow at LA Clipcast on Twitter. I am now officially no longer mad at Elton Brand because I'm not. I forgive Elton Brand now because this was a much bigger betrayal for Clipper Nation what DeAndre did, because we saw him come through the ranks. We've seen him mature and grow up, and he on Twitter says he loves comedy and gluten-free cookies. I hope he chokes on his gluten-free cookies, and I hope he enjoys the comedy that's about to happen in Dallas as they become the laughingstock of the Western Conference.
Well, I mean, I can tell you are fired up about this.
I am so angry at him, and I cannot wait. Game one of our two-game home series versus Dallas. I cannot wait for that schedule to come out, Jack, and I'm going to circle those days on my calendar, and I'm going to get the best seats possible, and I am going to boo his soul. His soul is going to be rattled with my booing every time he touches the ball. I cannot wait for him to get to the free throw line because he will hear me, Jack. And also, folks, boycott Shark Tank. Do not watch Shark Tank Friday nights on ABC. Just do not watch. Go out on Friday night. Be a human being and do not watch Shark Tank. Do
and
not
if, DVR. And if you like the Dallas Cowboys and you're a Clipper fan, stop liking the Dallas Cowboys.
Stop liking the Dallas Cowboys. Do not watch
some
Dallas.
Somehow Jerry Jones was part of the pitch, too.
Do not watch Dallas reruns on SoapNet. I don't know if Dallas is still on TNT or not. The redo, don't watch it. Just ignore Texas in general.
Oh, man. Well, I mean, we'll probably do another one of these in a week or so.
Well, we're not done making moves, right, Jack?
No,
we're just not done making moves.
We're not. We've gone down the list of guys extensively that are out there, outside of, and we also hit on the summer league guys, but there's going to be options. It's just how, can you get a Jordan Hill? Can you get a Gerald Green? You need a center, but you don't want to just get a center to get a center. You just get the best players. I mean, that's what I've been, trying to just let everyone know, but you can't just call Samuel Dallenbear, out of retirement.
Right.
So it'll be really interesting.
We do need a center.
Yes, we do. But again, I'd rather have guys that can play the four and the five and get more out of them than just having JaVale McGee. Because what happens if JaVale McGee just flops? I'm all for giving him a shot.
Right.
But then he's gone. Then he's Byron
basically
Mullen.
Just
he could
played.
Be Byron. He could be Byron Mullen. That is a possibility.
We saw the Clippers basically have one center, DeAndre, and then no backup center. Basically, I mean, when Big Baby's in there as your center, that's not a center. It's just a meatball in the middle of the floor.
And remember, the Clippers play some of their best ball playing small ball.
Yes. And you can win championships playing small ball.
Yep, I mean, play Blake at the five and Pierce at the four. You can move around Stevenson three different places. Austin. So, I mean, Austin too. That's going to be interesting to see what happens with him. We're hoping he re-signs too.
I think he re-signs. I mean, he was apparently jawing at DeAndre with his BS decision. He was basically talking smack about Dallas. So I think Austin's coming back. But we need some more big bodies, Jack. We need a 7-footer, my man.
Well, we will see.
Let me ask you this, Jack. Who finishes better with a better record, Clippers or Mavs? And then a follow-up question, do the Mavs even make the playoffs next year?
No, they don't.
Right? They're terrible.
Yeah.
They don't even make. I don't even think they make the playoffs.
They're gonna have Jeremy Lin. They got no. Oh man, it's gonna be fun. But again, let's see where this team is in say a month. Then we'll know more.
Right. Stop licking your wounds, Clipper Nation, because we still. Yep. I mean, it's not like it's. We have Blake Griffin and Chris Paul. We have Paul Pierce. Lance Stevenson, Jamal Crawford.
Cap space next summer for Kevin Durant.
That was a question. Put your crystal ball on and predict the free agency of 2016. I don't know if I want to get into that, Jack.
All we have to say is Kevin Durant.
I wouldn't mind a team with Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, and Kevin Durant. I wouldn't be angry at that.
No, you wouldn't.
I don't think Madison Avenue would be mad at that. I think at that point LeBron goes, all right, forget it. I'll come to the Clippers too, just so every commercial can star the four of us.
That would be amazing.
Well, Clipper Nation, rebound. I know we just lost our leading rebounder, but we need you to rebound and know that Blake is coming back with a vengeance. We're going to see Big Blake rebounding numbers skyrocket now that his buddy, the liability, the offensive liability, is gone. Chris Paul is going to be more fired up than he's ever been because once again, he got ousted in the second round, so he's got more to prove than anybody next season. And you know what? You lose a dummy and the guys get smarter. So I'm telling you, hindsight's going to be 20/20 on this one. And I think a year from now, when we're at the championship parade on Figueroa, we're going to be very glad we got rid of dumb Andre Jordan. Dumb.
Well, again, I wish the best for him.
I don't.
I do.
I'm looking forward to his injury because he hasn't been injured in four seasons or whatever it is. I'm looking forward to an early injury.
You don't want to wish an injury on anyone.
I'm going to wish an injury. I've got a lamp right here. I'm rubbing it, and I wish. Oh, I get three wishes, Genie? I just want one. It's Shaq. It's Kazam. It's Shaq, Genie, and I don't want three wishes. I just want one wish. I wish DeAndre gets injured early and often.
Well, on that note.
Should we sound the bitter horn?
Well, let's just sound the horn. Let's see what these guys do.
All right, here's the truth. I'm sounding the horn, and I'm a big Paul Pierce fan. Bang.
Yeah.